Mesachzolos Paraktes Vomishne Zayin Until Paraktes Vomishne Yud. Bais Shemiloi Ofer Tzroyos, a room that somebody filled up with earth or pebbles, to the extent that there is no longer an empty space of a height of a tefach. Ubitloi, and he nullified those items there, that is to say, that he had the explicit intention to leave the pebbles or the earth there, and he hasn't got a plan to remove it anytime soon. And we're going to see in the continuation of the Mishnah for how long exactly he needs to have that intention to leave it there. V'chein krishel tavua, likewise if there was a pile of grain which filled up the room until there is less than a space of a tefach remaining of empty space, or if there's a big pile of stones inside the room, once again until there is less than an empty space of a tefach remaining. And in the last two cases, many understand that he didn't have an explicit intention that I am leaving them here and I'm not removing them. But at least it's certainly understood that it's his intention to just leave those items over there. And now the Mishnah says, Afilu kagalu shel ochon, even if it's like the pile of stones with regards to ochon, in the times of Yeshua, when they conquered the city of Yericho, ochon sinned by taking from the spoils of Yericho, even though that was forbidden, and he was killed for that sin. And once he was killed, they covered him with a pile of stones. And they only did so for a certain amount of time, very much a limited amount of time, for as long as Ochon's body would be there. And the Mishnah is telling us that so too over here, it is enough that the stones be intended to be left there for as long as the dead body will remain in the Oihel. And in all of these cases, the Oihel would no longer be considered a Oihel that has the necessary dimensions, because we view the airspace of the Oihel as having been diminished to be less than a tefach high. So even though in general a roof doesn't have to be on top of empty space of a tefach in order to be considered an Oihel, even if it's filled up fully, we would just view the other items as if they are inside of that Oihel. Over here, because of his intention to leave those things, the pebbles, etc., there, at least for as long as the dead body will be there, we view that as if it's an extension of the floor somewhat, and the area that you are able to consider as the inside of the Oihel is diminished to be less than a tefach. And because of that, even if there is a piece of a dead body right next to a utensil, as long as it's not touching it, it will remain pure, because tumah bekas ve'ilu bekas v'yeredes, the impurity penetrates and spreads upwards and downwards in a direct line, just like all tumurat tzutza, impurity which is, so to speak, squashed, and there is not an oihel of a space of a tefach above it. And that means that even if there is a utensil right next to it, as long as it's not touching it, it will not become tomei, because it is not in a direct vertical line with the piece of the dead body. Mishnah Ches, there are different ways to learn this Mishnah. We are going to learn it in the way that the Baruch Nura understands. A Kohen is forbidden to become Tomei from a dead body, and Midirabbonon, in order to avoid situations where he can very easily touch or end up going over a dead body without realizing it, one who comes within 4 amos of a dead body is Tomei Midirabbonon. And this will prevent situations where a Kohen is very close to a dead body or a grave, and without realizing ends up actually becoming Tomei from it. However, in a case where the grave is very clearly marked and it's even separated by something else, for example, if there is a cave full of graves and somebody is standing right outside of the cave, even though he might be within 4 amos of a dead body, the dead bodies were buried in the walls of the cave. They would dig into the walls and bury the dead over there. As long as there's a very clear separation between him and the grave or the dead body, even if he was within 4 amas, he would remain pure. That having been said, somebody who is situated in Chatzar HaKever, the courtyard of a burial plot. This means that there are 4 different caves that open from the 4 directions of this courtyard, and in each of the caves there are many dead people buried in the walls. Now, if the courtyard was totally surrounded by the caves, it's likely that in order to reach the courtyard, they would go over one of the caves in order to reach there. Be it as it may, one who is standing in such an area that is surrounded by caves that contain dead bodies, because of his extreme close proximity to the dead bodies, we no longer say that since it's clear that the cave begins from this point, and right now he's outside of the cave, so he is not going to become Tomei even if he's within 4 amas of the dead body, Because in this case, he's totally surrounded by these caves containing dead bodies, the Chacham decreed that such a person would become Tomei, unless the courtyard is large enough such that we're able to look at it as being significant in and of itself, not totally secondary to the caves that are around it, and in that case he would not be Tomei as long as he doesn't enter any of the caves. And the Mishnah says, Ha'imin b'soicha tohar ad she'ba arba amos, which we're going to translate to mean, the one who is standing inside of that courtyard remains pure as long as the size of the courtyard is no less than 4x4 amos. If it is less than that, then indeed, midrabbanon, he would be tomei, but as long as there is a significant size that the courtyard has, then he would remain pure, since he is in the courtyard, and the separation from him and the area that contains the dead bodies is very much clear and marked, and there is a separation, and therefore he would not be Tomei even midrabbanon. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, I mean, Beis Hillel say that even if the courtyard is only arba tefachim, 4x4 tefachim, that's already considered to be a significant enough size that we view the courtyard in and of itself, not totally secondary to the caves around it, and he would not become Tomei even midrabbanon. The second half of the Mishnah talks about Goylel, which, as we learned towards the beginning of the Masechta, refers to the covering of a grave. And it's learned from Psukim that the covering of the grave makes a person Tomei, just like the dead body itself. And this is a very unique type of impurity in that it's not intrinsic to the Goylel itself. In fact, even if the Goylel is made out of stone, which can never become Tomei, nevertheless, if somebody touches the Goylel, they will become a Av HaTumah, just like if they touch the dead body itself. The Goylel has the ability to give off and transfer the impurity from the dead body onwards, even though it itself is not Tomei. And this sheds light on the following law of the Mishnah that teaches that Koyo Sha'asor Goylel HaKever, a beam that somebody made into the covering for a grave, whether the beam is standing upright or on its side, in Tomei Elo Keneged HaPesach, only the part of the beam that is directly above the opening of the grave would be a source of impurity. Even though it's all one object, since the object itself intrinsically is not Tomei, and the only reason why somebody touches it becomes Tomei is because of this unique law of Goylel, that the impurity of the dead body is transferred to somebody even who touches only the Goylel, so that only applies and the status of a Goylel is only given to that which is directly above the opening of the grave. It should be noted that, based on a similar principle, as soon as a Goylel is removed from the grave, it stops having the status of a Goylel. It's only as long as it is directly above the grave that it transfers the impurity of the dead body onwards. Continues the Mishnah, Osar Roisho Goylel HaKever, if somebody made the top of a beam that he placed upright on top of a grave into the Goylel. That is to say, he intends on shortening this beam, he just hasn't yet managed to do so, and he only really wants the bottom part of the beam to be the cover of the grave. The Mishnah says, Ein Tomei Al Arba Tefachim, only the four tefachim nearest to the grave would gain the status of a Goylel, Uvizman Shu Asid Logoid, in a case where he has the intention to cut and shorten the beam in the future. Since the beam is bound to be cut and shortened, and that's sort of what's destined to happen, already from now we are able to view it as if it's already been cut, and only the part that is closest to the grave itself would be considered a Goylel. That having been said, we see from the Mishnah that anything less than four tefachim, it doesn't help the fact that he intends to cut it, because that's considered to be a relatively normal amount of space that would cover the grave. But anything which is more than four tefachim away from the grave's opening, if he has the intention to shorten it later on, so he only ever really made the bottom four tefachim into the goylel of the grave. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kula Chibur, Rabbi Yehuda says that all of the beam is considered to be connected, and it's one item, and as long as it hasn't yet physically been cut, we do not view it as if it's been cut. So the entire beam would become a goylel, even if it's extremely tall. Mishnah test. This Mishnah presents the idea that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that a goylel transfers the impurity from the dead body onwards, but the goylel itself does not become intrinsically tomei in and of itself. And the Mishnah illustrates this by talking about a case where chovis shimileo mashkim tohirim, there is an earthenware barrel filled with liquid that is pure, umukevet somin posel, and the barrel is totally sealed around it, and there is no longer an opening at all, it's been totally attached to the rest of the kli. And somebody made that into the covering of a grave. One who touches the barrel becomes tommy for 7 days, just like one who touches the dead body itself. That is the law of Goylel. And nevertheless, the barrel and the liquid that is inside of it remain pure. The barrel is totally surrounded, totally sealed. There's no opening for the impurity to enter into the inside. And therefore it remains pure. But that's not a contradiction to the fact that it has got a status of Goylel that would transfer the impurity of the dead body onwards. The second half of the Mishnah talks about Behemosh Asogul Lakaver, a animal that was made into the covering of a grave by tying the animal down. As long as the animal is alive, there is a question of whether it can be considered a covering of a grave. According to the first opinion, Hanager bot Tommy Tomas Shiva, one who touched that animal will become Tommy for 7 days, because Goylel does apply even to an alive animal. However, Rabbi Meir says, Kol Sheyesh Bo Ruachayim Einam Tamim Mishum Goylel, anything that has within it life cannot be considered a Goylel to transfer impurity onwards, because in order to be considered a covering, a proper partition on top of the grave, it must be that it stands, and that which is holding it is not a life force, but it is something tangible that we are able to consider the covering of a grave. Mishnah Yud, in the first perek of the Masechta, we came across a concept which was also mentioned a couple of times since then, called Tumah B'Chiburin, which refers to a case where somebody is touching a source of impurity, and at the same time that he's touching the source of impurity, or it doesn't have to be touching, it could be in whatever way the impurity is given over to him, that situation is still existent. It could be he's still under the same roof as the dead body. For as long as he still has that same level of contact with his source of impurity, anything that the person is touching at the same time will become tomei as if that item touched the source of the person's impurity. And it's very important just to understand that there are two different types of tumah b'chiburin. One is the type that applies to many different kinds of impurity. For example, a zov, who is a particular person who has a type of impurity which is caused by certain substances exiting his body via his male organ, that would give him this unique type of impurity and make him into a zov. And a zov is an av hatumah. In general, if somebody touches a zov, they'll become a rishon latumah, which is one degree lower than the av hatumah. Now, a rishon latumah that touches another item or another person would not make that item or person tomei. A item or person can only become tomei from an av hatumah. Nevertheless, because of the concept of tumah b'chiburin, if a person is touching a zov and at the same time he is touching a particular item, the item would become tomei as a rishon latumah, as if it had touched the zov himself. So the general concept of tumah b'chiburin applies specifically when a person is touching the source of impurity, and the third item which he is touching is a object, it's a kli. So you've got the source of impurity touching a person, touching a kli. In that case, we say that the kli would become tomei as if it touched the source of impurity itself. But if any of that is changed, for example, if it's a kli, if it's a object, a utensil that is touching the source of impurity, and at the same time it's also touching something else, the concept of tumah b'chiburin would not apply. Likewise, if a person is touching the source of impurity, and at the same time the person is touching another person, there also the concept would not apply. It applies specifically when a person is touching the source of impurity, and at the same time the person is touching a kli. There is a second type of tumah b'chiburin that applies specifically to a dead body. Just like a dead body's tumah is more severe than other types of impurity, there also exists a stringency with regards to tumah b'chiburin, that even if the person who is touching the dead body or is underneath the same roof or underneath or above the dead body, if at the same time he is touching another person, or if the kli that is in that situation of becoming tomei from the dead body is touching another kli at the same time, even then the concept of tumah b'chiburin would apply. And the second person along, or the second kli along, would become tomei on the same level as if it had touched the dead body itself. This Mishnah shows that although it's true that it's as if the second item or the second person touched the dead body itself, this whole concept of tumah b'chiburin only applies if the person touches, or the kli touches, the next item along. But we don't say that now the person has the ability to transfer that impurity even via oihel. If, for example, the person is on top of another person or on top of another item, the item or person would not become Tomei. Only the dead body itself has the ability to transfer its impurity via Tumas Oyehel. Once the person or the item that is touching the dead body, or is underneath the same roof as the dead body, once that touches another item, so then we say it's as if it touched the dead body itself. But we're not able to reach that stage via Tumas Oyehel of the alive person. And the Mishnah explains, Hanegeba Meis, Hanegeba Kelim, if a person is touching a dead body, and at the same time is touching other objects. Or Hamahil Al Hameis, if he is currently over the dead body, so he becomes Tomei like that, Vanegeba Kelim, and at the same time he is touching other objects, Tomein, those other objects would become Tomei on the level of an Av HaTuma, as if they had touched the dead body itself. Ma'il Al Hameis, or Ma'il Al Kelim, however, if the person is over the dead body, so he certainly becomes Tomei like that, and at the same time, that alive person is also situated over, above other objects, or Hanegeba Meis U'Ma'al Al Kelim, if he is touching the dead body, and at the same time he is above other objects, Tahirim, those other objects would remain pure, because only the dead body itself has the ability to transfer its impurity via Tumas Oyehel. That having been said, im yesh biyodo b'seach tefach, if the person's hand is at least a tefach by a tefach, and one of his hands is above the piece of the dead body, and his other hand is above the objects, in that case, tamein, the objects would become tamei, because the person's hand forms an oyehel, and since the person is one being, both of his hands are considered to be like an extension of the same oyehel. And he has thus succeeded in combining the piece of the dead body and the object to be considered all underneath the same oyehel. On a similar note, shnei batim uvahen kishnei chatzoi zeisim. If there are two different rooms that are not connected to each other, but they are right next to each other, and there is a piece of a dead body in each of them, and each piece is the size of half of a piece of an olive, which is of course not enough to make each oyehel tomei. Poshat es shteyod of lohen. If a person who is standing in between the two houses stretches his two hands to the two rooms, one of his hands is in this room and his other hand is in the other room, even if his hands are not situated above the dead body itself, im yesh biyodo b'seach tefach, as long as his hand is at least a tefach by a tefach, maybe a satuma, he would combine the two pieces of the dead body and he would cause the impurity to spread to all of the items in both of the rooms. Because since the person himself is considered to be one oyehel, and the oyehel that he himself forms is overlapping with both of the rooms by at least a tefach, that serves to combine those ohalim together. So to the extent that we view it all as one joint oyehel, the fact that there are two pieces which together make up the minimum amount necessary to cause the impurity to fill the oyehel, they would combine and all of the items in the two rooms would become tomei. Vim lav, however, if his hands are smaller than a tefach by a tefach, then ein mevias atuma, he would not cause the impurity to spread, because of course then he is not forming an oyehel at all, so obviously he's not combining the two ohalim to be considered like one.